Good afternoon. Turn your Bibles to Philippians chapter 4 again. We've been working on this for about a month. And I think we can just finish this last point that we wanted to make about Paul's statement in Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 13. Paul says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And we talked about those things. Paul says, I, and we talked about the need to make it personal. Because we were talking about some things that we're going to do to strengthen ourselves. If we're going to be stronger, if we're going to grow in strength, then we need to do these things. We need to take the Bible and we need to make it personal. We need to apply it to ourselves, even though the Bible does speak to us all. And sometimes we kind of hang our hat on that. Well, we all supposed to be doing this and we're all supposed to be doing that. But we found out that we need to make it personal. And so sometimes all I'm not going to do, but I can do. And Paul says, I. And then he says, can. Not only was it personal, but Paul says it was positive. I can. And we talked about the fact that the scriptures does not give us any indication about what we cannot accomplish in Christ, but it always tells us what we can accomplish in Christ. So it is positive. We do what we can. And then Paul says, I can do all things. And so we found out that it's practical. Those who do are blessed. And so not those who are hearers of the word, but those who are doers of the words shall be blessed. And we constantly read in scripture all the times what the Bible says, we are going to be doers and doers are going to be blessed. Blessed is those who Jesus says in Matthew 24 shall be found doing at his coming. Matthew 7:21, that everyone said to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father. John chapter 13 and verse number 17, if ye know these things, happy or blessed are ye if ye do them. So constantly the Bible tells us to do, to do, to do. Even in that scene in Matthew chapter 25, that judgment scene, it was always those who was blessed to enter into heaven was those who were doing, not because they earned, but because they showed the ability to submit to God's will in appreciation for the salvation they had received, and therefore they entered into his vineyard in order to work. And they thought that they should work. And certainly as Christians, God has saved us. We ought to do all that we can to honor him and to show him how much we appreciate him to work in his service. Why? Because there are others who need to be saved and there's much work to be done. And so I enter in with appreciation and thanksgiving. What can I do? And the Lord certainly rewards those who are doers of the word. So Paul says, I personal can, it's positive. And then he says, do all things. It's practical. Then he says, through Christ, it's providential. We looked at the providence of God, we looked at the providence of Christ, and we understand God's providence and the power that works in his providence. And then Paul finally says, through Christ, he says, which strengtheneth me. It's powerful. And that's how we'll grow this year. That's how we'll grow every year. All things that we do is because Paul says, Christ strengtheneth me. So Paul found himself in a Roman prison. And he found himself in a situation where he didn't have things, and sometimes he lacked those things, the sustenance that he needed. And sometimes he found himself cold and naked and hungry and all those kind of things. And Paul said, but I know how to abound. I know how to be abased. I have learned that in all these situations, in all things, Paul says, I know exactly what I'm to do and how to behave myself, how to conduct myself in these various situations. And he owned it that Christ was the one who was able to strengthen him for the task. So we are talking about the fact that it's powerful. It's powerful because Christ is the source of my power. Whatever we are able to accomplish in Christ, we ought to go ahead and give God glory for it. We ought to go ahead and give God thanks for it. You know, the Bible tells us that we are every good gift as given, every good gift cometh down from the Father above. It comes down from God, and he gives us the abilities to be able to carry out all those things that he requires. So not only does God ask us to do certain things, but then he gives us what we need in order to carry out those tasks. And so therefore, we can always thank God for every good gift and every good thing that comes from him. When we talk about power, we are talking about the kind of power that is shown in Christ's resurrection. In Matthew chapter 28 and verse number 18, Christ rose from the grave with all power. So we're talking about that kind of power. In fact, he says to the disciples, all power, all authority, all power is given unto me, he says, in heaven and in earth. Now, when you have an all-powerful God that way, that says, not only do I exert my power in heaven, but I also exert my power on earth and everything in between, then we're talking about a powerful being. And so he says, all power has been given unto me. And we know that it was given to him by the Father. And Jesus says he has all power, and that he will not only use that power in order to accomplish certain things, but he will use that power to exert it in the lives of Christians. And so Christ says, I have all power. And isn't it wonderful to know that he has all power, but he's going to use that power in the lives of those who follow him. Look what Paul says in Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, and we'll notice verse number 19 and verse number 20, because Christ will exert that power in the lives of Christians. How does it read?
And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us for?
Now, that's, listen to what Paul says. What is the exceeding greatness of his power to us for? And so that power that Christ has, he displays that power in us. You think about the things that we've been able to accomplish. You see, it's one thing to look at the church and then think about all the bad things about the church, or think about what the church is not doing, all this stuff. Tell me what the church is doing. No one? I know it was rhetorical. but think about it. I'm just saying, sometimes we can get caught in thinking about the church in a negative way. And we can think about the church based on how I feel and the things that I deem should be happening and all these kind of things. But when you think about the church, it's always positive in the scripture in terms of the way God utilized the church and the way God thinks of the church. Like, consider Ephesians chapter 3, verse number 20 and verse number 21. The Bible says unto
him,
okay, wait,
that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power.
Listen,
that worketh in us.
According to the power that worketh in us, unto what?
Unto
him be glory where?
In the church by Christ.
In the church. Hey, let me tell you something. God's glory is seen in us. We have a right to exist. We have a right to exist because we were in the mind of God before he even put the foundation of the world together. He was thinking about a church. He was thinking about us. He was thinking about those he would group together that would be based on the belief and understanding of Christ, and coming into the faith of Christ, and creating this people that he would call out of the world. We are the ecclesia of God, and we give God glory. And so when the angels, in that same chapter, Ephesians chapter 3, when the angels, back up to about verse number 10, verse number 9 and verse number 10.
And to make all men see.
Listen to what Paul says. And to make all men see what's the fellowship of the what?
Of the
mystery.
Which from the beginning of the world has been hidden in God.
What? Wait a minute. Are you talking about this church like what? Which from the beginning of the world had been hidden in God, who did what?
Who created all things by Jesus Christ.
To the intent that now unto
principalities
and powers in where? In heavenly places might be known what? The manifold wisdom of God. So when all of the angelic properties take look at the church, as they have seen God unfold his scheme of redemption, and now they've seen the church come to fruition, when they look down and see what God has done, they glorify God on our behalf. They praise God for what they see in us. And you sitting up here looking at the church like, I thank God all the time for the church. That's my prayer. Lord, thank you for the church. Thank you for the church. I mean, I feel good about y'all. So I'm saying we are that, and he's going to use that power that he has, all power that has been given to Christ. He's going to utilize that power in us. How many people are going to be in heaven because of Newport News Church of Christ? How many is already gone?
Amen.
And how many of us are on our way?
Amen.
And how many are we going to yet affect to come to Christ due to the existence of Newport News? You know, the world might not know it, but there's a place sitting right over here on 72nd and Jefferson where the truth is presented and where God's people exist. And everybody who comes in those doors can be affected with truth.
Amen.
We can actually affect them with life. And we're the only ones that can. I'm just saying, when you think about it like that, you can't do nothing but have good thoughts about the church. And every now and again, a few of us people get out of line and stuff like that. We mess it up, have some little feelings and stuff like that. But that don't change the church.
Amen.
That don't change what the church is. And Christ is using that power that he has in us. Look what he says. Ephesians chapter 1. That was a little sidebar, but at least that's what came to mind. So Ephesians chapter 1, 19 to 20.
And what is the exceeding greatness of his power? Uh-huh. Who believe according to the working of his mighty power.
Man, that word power just keeps on coming. We believe according to the mighty working of his power. Come on, read.
Which he wrought in Christ.
When he raised him from the dead.
Set him at his own right hand.
What kind of power then? We are talking about the same kind of power that was utilized to resurrect Christ is the same kind of power he uses in us.
Amen.
Now, that's some power. We are talking about the whole series of acts toward the Christian, which results from the work of the Redeemer. And so in fact, let's just say, for example, y'all don't believe. I don't know about that, Brother Disney. I mean, I heard you say that resurrection power. I'm just not sure that's true. Okay, that's fine. But prove all things and hold fast to that which is good. So notice what the Bible says. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 18. Bible says, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us.
Which are saved, it is the power of God.
What are you preaching when you preach the cross? You are preaching the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And the preaching of that cross and the power thereof is what saves us from our sins. So the preaching of that cross is to them that perish foolishness. Why? Because they don't believe in the resurrection. They don't believe in Christ. But we believe that there was a man, and we believe there was a divine man that actually came down from heaven. And we believe that that man, that spirit, took on flesh and lived among men. And we believe that that was God in the flesh, and that he died, he was buried, and we believe that man, just like he predicted, got up the third day, and as a result of that, you and I are sitting here this very day. Now, either we'd have lost our minds for believing something like that, or we're getting to see what God's power will do. We're getting to see what the power of the resurrection was able to accomplish in us. Brought us to life. Brought us out of our dead tombs in sin. That's what he said in John chapter 5, verse number 24 and 25. Exactly what he said. Power will be exerted in your conversion. John 1, 12. Go to John chapter 1 and verse number 12.
But as many as received him, to them gave he the power.
Now the word power is exousia, and that word literally means right, mm-hmm. Privilege. As many that believe, to them gave he the power, the right, the privilege to become
the sons of God.
You and I were able to utilize the power in the word of God in order to become sons of God because we believed in Jesus the Christ, in his death, his burial, and the power of his resurrection. Power will be exerted in your conversion. So all I'm telling you is that Paul says, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Jesus says, I have all power, and I'm going to utilize that power in you. And I'm telling you, he's already utilized that power in you. He utilized that power in you when he converted you. When you obeyed the gospel, that was the power. That was the power to save us from our sins. And so he's already exerted that power in us in conversion. And I want you to know he's still exerting that power. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1 and notice verse number 5. The Bible says, who are kept by the power of God, ready to be revealed in the last time. Notice, who are kept by the power of God. My friends, even when it comes to us remaining faithful, God can exert power to help us.
Amen.
And isn't it interesting that people can deny and reject that power? My friends, what that tells me is that there is no reason ever for us to quit. There is no reason ever for us to fall to the point where we don't get up and stay with Christ and maintain ourselves in Christ. There's no reason. Why? Because God has the power to see us through anything. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 13. But you know what? I'd be remiss if I quoted 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 13 and we didn't get verse number 12. Because verse number 12 is very important to verse number 13. Let's go there for a moment.
Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall.
Wait a minute. You know what? Sometimes folks think they're standing all alone. It's interesting how Paul is in that context in the whole book of Philippians, in a Roman prison, don't know if he's going to be put to death, don't know when trial comes if he's going to be put away and all these kind of things. He has no idea what's going to happen to him, but he's telling people don't worry about things, don't be anxious for nothing, just stand fast in the Lord. He said, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. I know how to be abased, I know how to abound, I know how to suffer need, I know how to be hungry, I know how to be full, I know how to do all of this. Why? Paul said, it's not me, it's him. I can do it. Why? Because Christ strengthens me. Christ gives me the power to be able to do that. So it wasn't in Paul. So Paul, in this very chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. When you start to think that you're doing it, when you start to believe that it's all about you, when you start to think you can pat yourself on the back, then you missed it. But Paul goes on to say, not only do I take heed lest I fall, but Paul in verse number 13 says what?
There have no temptation taken you.
No outward trial has taken you, but what?
But such as is common to man.
Such as is common to man. And who is faithful?
But God is faithful.
What will he do?
He will not suffer you to be tempted.
Wait. Who won't do it?
He won't suffer you.
He will not suffer you
to be tempted,
Above that ye are able.
Mm-hmm.
But what will he do?
But with the temptation,
uh-huh,
make a way to escape.
Also make a way of escape that ye may be able
to bear it.
You know what? It's not just you. You are being kept by the power of God, ready to be revealed, 1 Peter 1, 5, in the last time. You are overcoming because of the strength that is in Christ. That's why. You've gotten through all of those challenges in your life, all of those things that that you have faced, all of those difficulties that you have been tried with, all of those, and I know sometimes with many people, there's some dark days. There has been some real dark days. And you know what? You still here. Why? Like Paul says, in all of his dark days, through Christ, which gives him the strength. Through Christ, which strengthens us. You see, his power will be utilized and is being utilized right now in keeping us. And that power will be exerted also in raising us from the dead. Look at Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3 and verse number 10. Paul says
that
what?
That I may know him and the power of his resurrection.
Come on.
And the fellowship suffering, mm-hmm. being made conformable unto his death.
Paul says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. You know, the truth of his resurrection confirms the truth of the Christian religion. That's why Paul in 1 Corinthians 15 said, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preach unto you, which also ye have received and where ye stand. By which also ye are saved," he says, "if ye keep in memory that which I have preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain." And then Paul goes on to state those facts. "I deliver unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how the Christ died. According to the scriptures, he was buried, and he rose again the third day according to the scriptures." And so when you think about it, his resurrection makes certain that there will be a future state for those of us who will be resurrected. And you can read 1 Corinthians 15, verses 19 through 23 for that. But let me tell you something. The power will be exerted in our being resurrected. And that's why Paul wanted to know him and the power of his resurrection. Because he resurrected, that means we're going to be resurrected. Paul understood how important that truly was. Power will also be exerted in the future in bringing us and exalting us to heaven. Notice what Paul says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, beginning in verse number 16. He said, "For the Lord shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air." He says, "And so shall we be, ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." My friends, even in the future, look at the power that is going to be exerted in raising us up to bring us to heaven, to exalt us to him, with him in glory. I mean, God has been using power toward us all our little lives, and especially all your spiritual life. Think about it. When you obeyed the gospel, that was power. That was God's power to save you from your sins. That was God's power to awaken you from that dead situation that you had yourself in your sins. You were in a tomb dead, and God called you out by his power to salvation, to breathe life into you, spiritual life, through his gospel. And here you are in Christ, and now you are faced with all kinds of challenges throughout this life. You are faced with all kinds of ups and downs, you in your peaks and your valleys, you in all kinds of stuff, snake pits, if you will, and yet God is keeping you and preserving you. Why? Because he got something prepared for you, and the only way to give you what he prepared for you is he got to hold on to you while you're here so he can exalt you and bring you together with that which he has for you in heaven. So he done put an inheritance up there. And at some point, he got to connect you with the inheritance. Therefore, he got to keep you while you're here so you can get it. Amen. And that's all that power that God has been exerting. So therefore, no matter what the world throws at us, we don't have to quit. We don't have to die. We don't have to fall. We can just stay up, stay in, because we know that God's got us. And I can look back and I can say to God, "I can do this because you give me the power. Because you strengthen me." Every one of us who remains faithful to the day we die, every one of us that will be in heaven will be there because God gave us the strength and gave us the power to do so. And because we willingly utilize the power that he gave. Some folks reject the power. The power is there. But it's kind of like wisdom. God, James says, "If any man lack wisdom," James 1:5, "let him ask of God." But you know, some folk don't ask. An abundant supply of wisdom, the likes of which can never be exhausted. And yet, hear all this wisdom of God, and God says, "Ask for it. I'll give it to you liberally and freely." And you know, some folk don't want it. All that power to save you, to keep you, to resurrect you, and to exalt you to heaven. And some folk don't want to go. That's amazing, isn't it? All things that Christ requires, he is able to strengthen us for the task. Look at Hebrews chapter 7 and verse number 25. Because the Hebrew writer said, said this about Christ. Notice what he says. Wherefore, he is able. There's that word. He is able to save them to what?
To the uttermost.
To the uttermost what? Wherefore, he is able also to save them to the uttermost who come to him by what?
Who come to him unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them.
Seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. He is able to save them to the uttermost. Why? Back up to verse 24. Here's why.
But this man, because he
continueth
ever as an unchangeable priesthood.
Wait a minute. This man, what man? Christ. Because he continueth what?
Because he continueth to make intercession, ever liveth to make intercession for them.
No, verse 24. Because he what?
Continueth ever.
Because he continueth ever.
As an unchangeable priesthood.
And as a result of that, he has an unchangeable priesthood. Well, in contrast to the Aaronic priesthood, where men didn't live forever. They died. And obviously that had to be handed down to another. In Hebrews chapter 5, Paul introduces Melchizedek. You know who Melchizedek is? Melchizedek is the Bible says, king of Salem and priest of the Most High God. And he introduces the Hebrew Christians to Melchizedek for a reason. Because if he doesn't introduce Melchizedek to these Hebrew Christians, he's going to have a hard time explaining why Christ is being spoken of as a high priest. You see, in Hebrews chapter 7 and verse number 14, you don't have to go there, Craig. The Bible says, for it is evident that our Lord sprang out of Judah, of which tribe Moses spake nothing concerning priesthood. Now, we know then of the tribe of Judah cometh no priest. So if you're telling these Hebrew Christians that Christ is a high priest, they're saying, wait a minute. Now, how is that possible? No priest comes from the tribe of Judah. The priests we know come from Levi. And Levi, we know Aaron and his sons, the Aaronic priesthood, is from Levi. And so therefore, if he doesn't explain Melchizedek, we got a problem. So he has to tell them about Melchizedek in chapter 5 in order for them to appreciate it. Then he goes fully into it in chapter 7. In chapter 5, Melchizedek is introduced, but the background of Melchizedek is Genesis chapter 14. After Abraham is coming from that slaughter because they had taken Lot in the war, the five kings versus the four kings. And then when Lot is taken, Abraham gets word from a servant. He then arms his 300 servants out of his own house. He goes and he takes them over by night. He slaughters them and he regains the people and he gets Lot and he brings them back. On the way back, Melchizedek meets him in Genesis chapter 14. And then Melchizedek, blessed is Abraham, king of the most, servant of the Most High God. And then the Bible says that Melchizedek blessed Abraham, and Abraham paid tithes. Paul says in Hebrews chapter 7 that the greater blessed the lesser, and the lesser paid tithes to the greater. So we have a Gentile king who is greater than our father Abraham. And he has no father, no mother, no beginning, no ending, he says in Hebrews chapter 7. And the Bible declares that Jesus' priesthood is after the order of Melchizedek. It did not begin nor end with the Aaronic priesthood or those of Levi. It has no beginning, it has no end. And so therefore his priesthood is forever after the order of Melchizedek. Now Abraham, Paul wants to explain that to these Christians so they understand and appreciate just how important this truly is. And that Jesus, his priesthood comes after Melchizedek and not after the Aaronic line. And so therefore, he is greater. His priesthood is greater. With that in mind, read Hebrews chapter 7 and verse number 24 again. But this man,
because he continueth ever,
has an unchangeable priesthood. Why? Because it's after the order of Melchizedek. And we know that he has no beginning and no end, no mother, no father. Come on, read.
Wherefore he is able to.
Because he has no unchangeable priesthood, because it's not after the Aaronic line, he'll be able to do things for us because he will not suffer death, and nothing about Christ is coming to an end. So he ever liveth, and he will always be able to take care of our needs and the things that concern us. Read.
Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them.
He is not limited by time. He is not affected by change. He is eternal and he is unchangeable. He is able to save us completely to the uttermost perfection. The word able is the word dunamai, and it means that he has the power. It is possible with him. No wonder Jesus would tell the disciples after seeing the rich man go away sorrowful, and they say, is it possible? This is impossible. No one can be saved. Who then can be saved? And Jesus says, with men, it is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. Let me ask you this. Would you be saved if it were not for Christ? Could you have ever righted your ship if it were not for Christ? Could you have ever reconciled yourself to the Father if it were not for Christ? Could you be here now with any confidence whatsoever if it were not for Christ? You couldn't. And that's why we ought to give him the praise and the glory and the honor. Paul understood it. He says it's possible because he, not I, make it possible. In 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 12, Paul will reveal to Timothy his thankfulness to Christ Jesus. He says that I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, our Savior, who hath enabled me. For he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Paul says he was very thankful to Christ who hath enabled him. That word means empowered him. He says, who had empowered him to increase in strength? Who had strengthened him? Who put him into the ministry? Paul recognized that he wouldn't have a ministry if it wasn't for Christ. Paul was fighting against Christ. I verily thought with myself, Acts 26 and verse number 29, that I should do all things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. Brethren, I've lived in all good conscience even to this day. 1 Timothy 1, who was before a blasphemer, persecuted and Jewish, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly, unbelief. Here was a man who was literally fighting against Christ, thought he was doing right and was doing wrong. And when that man looks at the things that he was able to accomplish, he can look with thanksgiving. He can write to Timothy and says, I am so thankful to God for what he did, because it was not I, but he who put me into the ministry. I should never get up here and talk about how great I am, because I'll never know how great I am. If I could be considered great, I'll never know it. But you know what? Whatever my greatness is, it'll be with Christ. It'll be God who will appreciate what we do and how we do it. But I should never get up here and pat myself on the back or talk about myself in such a way as if folks ought to be thankful because I'm here or there or whatever. You know why? Because in the end, I don't have a gospel to preach except the one that Christ has given us. Amen. And if it were not for Christ, I wouldn't be here. If it were not for Christ, we couldn't impact the lives that we impact today. So it is not us, but it's him. And I mean that with the greatest sincerity, y'all. I'm telling you, my brother and I talk about this sometimes. Eric, you all know him, gospel preacher. And I think highly of him. He thinks highly of me. But we talk about this sometimes, and we're just amazed. Two little guys from Rockford, Illinois. Wow. Very humble beginnings. Humble people, like, you know, we have nothing. We should look at other people and think that we're better than anybody else. We weren't taught that way. For people to actually tell you to come over here and teach these people and go over there and teach those people and come over here and help our people and come over here and do this and we think you have something to say and all this, like, man, listen, wow. I would have never thunk this in 1,000 years. But here I stand, and I assure you, it's not because of something I did. I guess the only thing I could truly say is I was a willing participant for God to do it in me. I guess that's about all I could say. And it's humbling. It's the way you impact people sometimes, and some of the things and some of the comments and some of the people you've met over the years and the way they express how they've been helped and stuff like that, the only thing you can say is thank God. Thank God. And I told you all this some time ago, and I don't know if you fully understood what I meant, but I said I lost my opinion a long time ago, and I truly mean that. I don't have one. I truly don't. If you ask me anything, I will not give you my opinion because I don't have one, but I will find a scripture for you. Because I didn't mean that to be funny. I meant that in the most sincere way. I don't have an opinion. If you ask me something, I'm giving you scripture. Because scripture has become my opinion on anything you ask me. So my sister that I told you all about has gotten much better. Boy, I had some good conversation with her the other day and some good old biblical conversation. But she used to say to me all the time, Greg, I'm going to ask you this, but just don't start quoting the Bible. I'm like, well, why you call Greg? You ought to know not to call me if you don't want Bible, because that's what I would give you. I don't have an opinion on that particular thing. All I have is the Word of God. So if you ask me a question, what does the Bible say? Don't ask me an opinion apart from the Bible, because I don't have one. And if I found one, if I thought about one and I conjured up one, I'd be afraid to tell you in the first place, because I'd have to find out if it agreed with Scripture. And truly, I'm just not smart enough to have an opinion. But I have the Word of God. I think that's a little better. He gave Paul the strength to perform all the various parts of his labor and service. Whatever the Christian will perform, whatever he will overcome, whatever we will fulfill, accomplish, conquer, must be done with the strength that Christ supplies. Let me give you one more passage and then I'm going to sit down. John chapter 15 and verse number 5. I believe we must live the Christian life in light of the truth taught by Jesus to his disciples. And that verse right there just kind of sticks out as one that is unavoidable. Helps us to appreciate exactly the things I've been expressing in this sermon. It says what?
I am the vine.
I am the vine.
Ye are the branches.
Ye are the branches.
He that abideth in me.
And
I
what?
In him.
I in him.
The same bringeth forth much fruit.
For what?
For without me. He can do nothing.
Is that your belief? Is that your belief? Then quote Philippians 4:13 with me. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. And my friend, that humbles us, doesn't it? But it also helps us to realize I'm not in this thing alone. That no matter what the world throws at me, no matter what comes up, I can get through because Christ strengthens me. He's got the power, which is why we went through all that. He's got resurrection power. And that same resurrection power, he won't hesitate to utilize in my life. He's already used it. The fact that we're here proves it. So he used it in our conversion. Here we are. He uses it right now to keep us. We're still standing. How many have suffered a little trouble? Okay, put your hands down. How many have gone through some stuff? How many have faced a few crises? How many of them really seen some tough days, some dark days? You know what? And you're still here. You're still here. Who you think got you here? Who you think kept you? How many of y'all married? And you still together when most of the world say, I don't want you no more. You're still here. Why? Because he strengthens us. And he's got the power. And he's already been utilizing. He keeps us, and also he's going to resurrect us. You know what? One day you're going to die. Our body's going to decompose in a dark, cold grave. Spirit is going to go to its own place. And then one day, it's going to come back together. And you're going to come forth. That spirit is going to leave its place, and that body is going to be put back together, leaving its place, and come together. And you're going to be resurrected. What kind of power do you think that is? And then, some folks are going on to heaven. When you stand on the shores of heaven, I guarantee you, we won't be sitting up there, Brother James, talking about, look what I did. Man, I knew this was going to be my home. This is what I'm talking about. I mean, y'all should have saw me work at a church. What's your name? Yeah, what church was you a part of when you was in Rock? Man, I did everything for our church. I did everything for our church. The Lord hadn't let me up in here. I knew I was going to. We're not going to be talking like that all. No. You know, I think that'll get you right out of heaven. You know, if ever God made a mistake, no, you come here. You know, apparently you missed it. I don't know how you got in there. No, I'm sorry. I shouldn't even say that. But listen. I don't want to joke about stuff like that. Let me back up. But I mean, we could not be up there talking like that. But I could see us crying for joyful tears and just celebrating, exuberant. I can see all of those things coming out in us and to some degree a little, whew, you know, I mean, I'm here. It's unbelievable. I'm here. You know, wow. I made it. And thanking the one forever who allowed us to be in his presence. I can think of that. Don't you want that? That's what I want. So if you're here, I'll tell you what, there's that same God who Paul was describing that strengthened him with the power that he had is the same God who can strengthen you right now. He can give you everything he has. He can give you, he's got the power written right in his word. That power is right in his word to save you if you respond to it. Take away your sins right now. Christ is not even here in body. He doesn't have to say, thy sins be forgiven thee. Make some folk mad. He don't have to say that. The power is right in his words to forgive you for your sins if you respond to it. He doesn't have to be here to baptize you. The power is in his word. When you respond to it, you baptize yourself. Go dip yourself in water. If you had to, when nobody else around, I dip myself. Look at you, looking at me funny. But I would just respond to God. He said, baptize, I'll be baptized. But whatever you have to do, the power is in his word. It's already here. So if you believe in him, you repent of your sins, confess his name, and if you are baptized into him, he'll save you. And he doesn't have to be here literally to do it. The power has been left right here on earth. And we got it. And if a man responds to it today, the same power, the resurrected Christ, the same power that's in here in order to resurrect you from your sins, keep you throughout your lifetime, resurrect you in the last day of judgment, and then exalt you into heaven. All that power. No wonder Paul says, all these little battles I'm winning is him, Christ, who strengthened me. If you believe that, come on to Jesus this evening. We're standing as we sing the invitation song.
Would you